This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 453. We are the Fight Disciples. This one's dedicated to the world of boxing. If it's the first time you've ever come across us, you can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. Our website is fightdisciples.com. If you need an Android feed, Spotify, Google Play, anything like that, or you need our social media, get all over that, because as boxing is quickly moving at the moment, and therefore we're keeping people up to date with everything on Instagram and Twitter. So make sure you follow us at Fight Disciples. Our YouTube channel is also Fight Disciples. Get stuck in. I've got a funny feeling with the heavyweight champion, unified heavyweight champion of the world fighting at the weekend, and a massive fight for a Brit against a pound-for-pound legend this week, this might be quite a well-listened-to podcast. It kind of goes like that. Whenever there's a big heavyweight contest and there's something to talk about off the back of it, and it just coincidentally has a pound-for-pound fighter the week after, numbers go through the roof. So welcome along. If this is the first time you're a Fight Disciple, hopefully it won't be your last. Do it, subscribe. You'll never miss out on any of the content that we bring you on a day-by-day basis. Yeah, we talk fights, but there's also other bits in there as well that we like to sprinkle in, including my esteemed colleague, Mr. Nicholas Pete, thinking that he can come to my world radio at the weekend and go toe-to-toe with me on a rival radio station. He thought to himself, do you know something? Bugger Lugs is on TalkSport. I'm going to go on 5 Live. Go on then. Let's have a go. Let's swing some punches. What's that all about, eh? Cheating on me, Judas. Who are you knocking about with? That kid from Sex on the Beach or whatever it were bloody called? What are you doing?
It wasn't too good because obviously I like to be the best looking fella in the radio station.
Mm.
And that kid's not an ugly lad. So it was... It didn't play out in the end anyway.
Yeah,
it was kind of a
TKO second round talk spot, weren't it? Easy work, mate. Simple. Easy work.
Simple. Simple.
Lots to talk about. Lots to talk about.
And yes.
There's not only lots to talk about from last week, there's also lots to preview this week. So I'm going to make an apology now, right? We ain't got all day to sit here and bore you to death with the intricacies of, you know, Ilunga Mukabu, for example, fighting in the blooming Congo this week, which he is doing. He's defending his cruiserweight title. So there'll be certain fights that we might miss, we might not talk about. We're prioritising. We're putting the top stuff right to the top. We're talking about the big stuff. There might be a little bit of sprinkling of some of the little stuff underneath it as well. All right? So I apologise now if there's something that maybe happened at your call that you want us to have a yak about. But come on, it's all about the heavyweight, isn't it? It's all about what happened at Wembley for Anthony Joshua. Now, I'm going to take a back step here because I always put my foot down right at the start. I always go in first, don't I? I always go first. So I'm going to say, Nicholas, obviously you watched it separately to me. One thing that I will say, and I'd like to point this out, I haven't watched it with sound even yet. I'll watch it with sound this week just to see what the crack was with the commentary and all that. So if there's anything that anybody wants to flag up, I haven't seen it. I've watched it with sound off purposely because I just wanted to watch the fight and judge it for myself. Go on, pal. Yeah. All yours.
But just on that point, incidentally, I watched it with sound off TV, but with sound on BBC.
All right.
I listened to Mike Costello and Steve Bunce on 5 Live doing comms, which is cool on this because you can pause it and match it perfectly with the TV. So I didn't listen to Sky comms, and I thoroughly enjoyed the fight for that, probably for that reason. And I didn't have fucking Woodall or Macklin boring me to fucking death with their monotone voices. But anyway, the fight itself. Okay, let me just ask you this. Okay, let's pretend that you fell down the stairs at the weekend and knocked yourself out, and you were temporarily in hospital,
yeah,
in some kind of, you know, protection coma, and they've just brought you out now and put the microphone in front of your face, and you're, the first thing you say to me is, Nick, how did AJ get on? And I say to you, Adam, he won every single round, knocked out Pulev in the 9th and Adam down twice earlier in the fight. Your response would be, AJ's back, baby.
Bang on,
AJ,
yeah,
is back.
Bang on.
And I wouldn't disagree with that. On paper, when you look at that result, AJ's back. We march forward. Bring on Tyson. It's time for the biggest fight in the history of British boxing. However...
Oh, here we go.
However, when you watch the performance, when you watch Anthony Joshua, when you see Kubrat Pulev basically quit in that third round and walk away... Turn us back on the referee, turn us back on AJ. He was lucky he never got disqualified at that point. He didn't want to be in there. When you see AJ pull back, when you see AJ get hesitant in rounds, getting caught and not going forward. And I don't know, man. For me, it was a weird performance from AJ. It was at times I'm like, yeah, man, AJ's back. Let's go. Let's go. And at other times I'm like, AJ, man, it's not Andy Ruiz. That's done. It's behind you. Let's move on with your life, man. I still think the specter of Andy Ruiz, what happened in New York, is still haunting Anthony Joshua. I still think that he's fighting at the moment slightly tentatively, slightly safety first. Now, that's one of two reasons, man. Either first reason is he's matured, he's more intelligent, he's putting safety first, he's going down the Klitschko, Lennox Lewis. So many great champions that get to a point where they're so accomplished at what they're doing. It's just jab, jab, right hand, jab, jab, right hand, good footwork, get their opponents into deep waters and then step into the finish. We didn't dispute it then. We didn't argue with it then. We complained it wasn't very entertaining, but they reigned on as champions for a long time. Maybe Anthony Joshua's that Anthony Joshua now. Maybe he's just evolved into a slightly more safety-faced Anthony Joshua. However, the reason Anthony Joshua is the biggest draw in boxing,
yeah,
puts more bums on seats than anyone in boxing, is because he doesn't fight like that. He fights to finish. Yeah. When he smells blood, he fucking goes for it. And yes, he can be tagged. Yes, he can be hurt at times in big fights. We've seen it. We've seen it. That's what makes him him. That's what makes him so attractive as an athlete and as a sportsman. And I think if we're gonna, if we have indeed become more of a safety first Anthony Joshua, then don't be surprised if people start gravitating away from him.
Hmm.
You know, so it, all in all, a very strange performance. All in all, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next. Not even in terms of Tyson Fury, but what happens next with that corner, with everything that's going on. It feels like Anthony Joshua, for me, is in a transitional period in his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, what that ultimately means, I don't know.
I'd agree with the majority of that, mate. I think I was gobsmacked that Pulev didn't get thrown out in the third round. He's turned his back. He's running around the bloody ring. I'm thinking, what's he doing there? That's either a disqualification.
Failing to protect himself intelligently. Yeah.
So the referee surely jumps in there and he goes, right, you've had enough now. You've been down a couple of times. We're giving you two counts. You're legging it around the ring. You don't fancy this. End of fight. So I was surprised that the fight did continue. Now, you bring up a valid point there about the Andy Ruiz, the shadow of Andy Ruiz and what happened at Madison Square Garden. Of course, that is going to be in the back of the lad's head, right? He is a guy that once he gets you hurt, Anthony Joshua, he gets in there and he gets you out of there. I think he's still the best finisher in the heavyweight division. But he didn't go for it in that fourth round. He didn't go for it. He took his foot off the gas and he went back to boxing. Kind of at range, and I didn't think he looked amazing at range. I think he actually looked better when he was at the shorter to mid ranges. Anyway,
yeah,
I actually look at it and go, fair play, because look what happened in the Ruiz fight. You went chasing it, you got chinned, you ended up losing it, and it was a massive fall. He had to rebuild. He had to go and do the fight in Saudi, which nobody really wanted, but he did it. Got his belts back. Now we've had a year off now working on himself. If you think about this, right, logically, AJ started boxing. In 3 years, he was the gold medalist at the Olympics. 3 years later, he's the heavyweight champion. Now, whatever reason he becomes the heavyweight champion for the Tyson Fury blowing his career up back in 2015, whatever, it doesn't matter. He became champion and with that becomes targets on your back. And therefore, your development, learning who you are in the ring, kind of stops. You're then training for opponents, aren't you? You're training to keep your belts. Right, I've got to beat this guy by doing this or do this or do this or do that. And he's had a lot of those fights. There's no doubt about it. So therefore, I think his development as a fighter has kind of stopped a bit. Over the last year, I think he's gone back to work on that. What type of fighters does he want to be? You bring up two lads there in Lennox Lewis and Vladimir Klitschko. Two guys who had embarrassing defeats at a point in their career. And when that happened, they then went about learning to fight a different way. A more dull, more boring way of fighting, but it got the job done and made them who they were. Unified champion and undisputed champion. And I think Anthony Joshua is obsessed with the thought of becoming the undisputed champion of the world. I think that's where he's at. Now, what we saw at the weekend was a blend of new and old Joshua. The old Joshua gets you on the edge of your seat. There's no doubt about that. In the third round, when he's got you going, you're there, you're going, fucking, this is brilliant, amazing. And the finish and the nastiness was still there in the ninth round when he ended up getting Pulev out there, because some of them uppercuts, Jesus, Pulev went in there 6'4", he come out 6'7", mate. He was getting absolutely smashed with them uppercuts, weren't he? So from a performance point of view and the way that he thought about his work after that third round, I was actually quite happy with it. I come away going, do you know something? You've not rushed it. You've got back on your boxing. And the thing that I take away, and we say this on the podcast all the time, he could have coasted that. He could have gone through to 12 rounds and just gone, there you go, I've won.
I've won every round.
I've had him down a couple of times. I didn't take any risks. There you go, job done. That's what Klitschko used to do. Klitschko didn't go looking. He used to stay behind his jab. He went looking. In the ninth, when he had him tagged, he thought, right, fuck this, I'm taking him out. And I thought, I can't... Everything in the ring from AJ, I can't complain. It's what happened outside the ring that I'm going to have a moan at in a minute. But inside the ring, I was really happy with what he did.
I just think watching it live, there was times there when I was like, he's becoming very un-AJ like. And again, it might just be because he's evolving and he's maturing as a fighter. But a good mate of mine who's not necessarily a fight fan, who's a football fan that will dip into AJ in the big fights, doesn't really watch UFC, but will watch the big fights, Tyson, AJ, stuff like that. He messaged me and was like, "Bah, if this is the new AJ, fuck it." Like, that was his straight away mentality. Fuck it, I'm not interested.
That's fair enough.
And it's kind of brutal. It's kind of brutal approach, but people are tuning in. 90,000 people buy tickets, fall over themselves to buy tickets to see AJ versus, let's be honest, TBA, if you're a football fan. Mm. The type of people that buy tickets to see AJ that were packing out Wembley and Millennium Stadium, they wouldn't give two fucks. They didn't know who the guy in the opposite corner was until fucking Diamante read his name out twice. That's just a fact. But they're going there because they know Anthony Joshua's a fucking absolute killer, and he's just going to go in there and he's going to take two. He's going to get, as soon as he gets warmed up, he's going to explode. And he's going to smash these people to bits.
Yeah.
Now, again, that's all good and well when you're fighting a certain level of competition. You know, when you're running through the likes of Charles Martin, Brazil, Eric Molina.
Gary Cornish.
Gary Cornish. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you know. And even to a point, Andy Ruiz Jr.
Yeah.
But then someone like Andy Ruiz Jr. gets up off the floor, a fighting man gets up off the floor with a set of stones on him and fucking gives it back. And then suddenly AJ's whole confidence implodes then because he's threw everything but the kitchen sink and this little fat Mexican's just got back up again.
Yeah.
And now that's when you go back to the drawing board. That's when you go back and think, shit, you know, not everyone is going to stay down.
No. I think now as well, after Baca Ruiz, even more so now, nobody will quit on Anthony Joshua now because they know...
No, exactly.
If they get up, they could get him going and break his heart.
Exactly. And there was a point in the Pulev fight at the weekend. Not for a second was Pulev on top. Not for a second did Pulev win a round. But the fact that Pulev was still there and was still throwing jabs in the occasional right hand, was still in the fight. You know, the ninth round starts... And I'm still on the edge of my seat. And AJ's won every round. He's had him down a couple of times in the third. Should have finished it then. You know, he's completely dominating. And yet I'm on the edge of my seat because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking AJ could gas at any second. All it takes from Pulev is one cuffing shot round the back of the ear, and this whole thing fucking implodes again. Now that I'm in this sport, you know, I'm in fight sport. So, of course, I'm engrossed in it. I'm engaged in it. But the feedback I'm getting from people that aren't as engaged, aren't as bought in, fucking hell, he can't even get a 39-year-old man out the way until nine rounds. He had him on the floor twice. Why am I still watching this after six, seven rounds? Why is this fight still going? Mm. What time's match of the day on? That's never happened with AJ before. AJ is, and again... You know, people would argue, so fucking what? As long as AJ stays as champion and continues his reign, who gives a fuck? I'll tell you who gives a fuck. That word that gets thrown at me and us a lot, the casual. If you're losing the casual fan, guess what? You don't sell out 90,000 at Wembley no more. Your pay-per-view isn't over 1 million buys anymore because your casual fan is that football fan that goes, I'm bored of this now. What time's match of the day on? And that's not what Anthony Joshua's been about his entire career. And that's what I'm concerned about in terms of Joshua's... Because listen, Joshua's star power, Tyson's star power, Conor McGregor's star power can keep us in sliced bread, kid. They're the biggest... I want the biggest names in fight sports to be at the peak of their powers and attracting casual fans because the casual fans, when we all get paid, that's where the money is. And if the casual fans starting to drift away, that concerns me. And what happens next really concerns me. Because if what happens next is not the fight, if Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury somehow, somewhere do not fight next, that casual fan that is now starting to think, well, is AJ unmissable TV? If AJ goes and fights anybody but Tyson Fury next, I guarantee that casual fan, that all-important casual fan, will not tune in, will not pay 25 quid to watch AJ fight anybody else but Tyson Fury.
They're going to be disappointed, mate, because he ain't fighting Tyson Fury next. But we'll get to that in a minute, because I want to read you something. Chael Sonnen, one of the greatest fight promoters in the world. Obviously a fighter that promoted his own fights, right? The moment one fight ends, the marketing for the next fight begins. That is your chance right there on the microphone. If you don't say anything to make people care, the likelihood is that they won't. Discuss.
Very wishy-washy, wasn't he? It was a very... Listen, I get why... Was it Andy at Sky who was asking the questions?
Yeah. I think he does it.
Listen, I get why Andy was being coy. You know, Tyson's the biggest fish in your ponds. You don't want to... AJ's the biggest fish in your pond. You don't want to piss him off. Nobody wants to piss AJ off if you're working for Sky. Basically, you're working for AJ in a lot of ways. But, you know, Andy unfortunately tried to step around the subject and tried to be coy about it. And I understood why AJ was being pretty frosty about it.
He was trying to lead him because he wanted him to cut the promo. He wanted him to say it. We've done those interviews. Nobody wants to hear me or you or Andy say that. They want that to come out the mouth of the champion. So what you do is you lead the horse to water, man. You can't make the fucker drink. You can't do that.
He just refused to say it. He refused, and he was just like, whatever. And in the end, Andy had to say, okay, well, I'll ask the fans then. Because AJ was just like, well, I'll fight whoever the fans want me to fight. And then Andy just went, right, okay then, fans inside Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
Do you want AJ to fight, you know, do you want him to fight Tyson Fury next? Place goes absolutely mental. And then AJ's just like, well, whoever's got the belt, that's all. And I'm like, no, man, no. You've been in this game long enough now. You know what sells. This is your 25th professional fight. You know how to cut a promo. You know how to call an opponent out. You know how important this moment is to generate sales, to get people interested, to make every single newspaper in the country splash it on the back page tomorrow. Every podcast, every radio show, every breakfast show. You need everybody to talk about it with this moment now, this clip right now. You looking down a lens and going, bring me the head of Tyson Fury.
That's it.
That's all you've got to do.
And as well as that, not just from a commercial and business point of view, from your point of view as well, as the champion, as the man, leave no doubt whether you want this fight or whether you don't want this fight, whether you're doing this for business reasons or you're doing this for legacy, leave no doubt. Cut that promo. It's only 20 seconds. Cut the promo, slam the mic down and walk off. You don't have to be there for as long as people want you to be there. You're the man.
Because he even said during the interview, AJ, I didn't even want to do any interviews. You know, I just wanted to make it, to let me punch and do the talk, and too much talking's gone on. Cool, man. Listen, cool.
Yeah.
Say what we want to hear and walk. You don't have to answer. Nobody gives a fuck about what you think about Pulev, about your camp, about any bullshit. We don't care. We're all waiting for this moment. We're all waiting for you now to do what you've got to do. To call out the Gypsy King. That's all he had to do.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He backed away from it. And now, in the end, he reluctantly was like, well, if I have to fight him, then, you know, I guess if it's Tyson Fury, then it's Tyson Fury. Man, do you know what that showed me? And this is my take from it. And I don't know what yours is. This is my take. Mm-hmm. By performing like that on the microphone, by reluctantly saying Tyson Fury's name, by being literally dragged over the coals to admit that Tyson Fury is the next logical fight. AJ surrendered the first round to Fury.
Yeah.
He lost the first round psychologically. Straight away, I was like, he's not ready. He is not ready to face Tyson Fury. Nope. Psychologically, he is still damaged from the Andy Ruiz fiasco. He is still recovering. He doesn't even want to say Tyson Fury's name. That is not a man confidence. If your confidence of becoming the undisputed champion of the world, you take the microphone, you go, listen, Andy, I don't want to do interviews. I'm not fucking interested. I'm here reluctantly. I'm here for one thing. I will say one name and one name only, and that is it. Tyson Fury, I'll see you in 2021. Mic drop, boom,
that's
end
it.
The show.
That's it, done.
Sensational,
done.
Goes around the world. Tyson Fury then got to respond. Everyone's talking about it. But instead, we all went, huh?
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to fight Tyson then?
Well, that's
where
it.
Where is he?
Well, this is
what's
it.
What's in his head?
Well, this is it, right? And I've had loads of people in 24 hours coming at me going, he did say Tyson Fury's name. What are you talking about? You're talking shit, you. No, no, no. I'm going to quote exactly what came out of his mouth, right? It's not about the opponent. It's about the legacy and the belt. If that's Tyson Fury, let it be Tyson Fury. It's no big deal. That is not a call out. That is not a call out.
No.
All week, he has been speaking about the importance of these belts, right? He's obsessed with the importance of this belt. The hashtag at all his fights is hashtag road to undisputed. You become undisputed champion by holding all those four major belts and obviously the Ring Magazine championship belts. He's got three of those belts, all right? And we know there's a situation that is popping up now with the WBO. After watching Anthony Joshua's post-fight interview and analysing how he spoke throughout the whole course of the week and obviously what the president of the WBO has said immediately after the fight, he is not fighting Tyson Fury next. Anthony Joshua is not fighting Tyson Fury next. He will fight Alexander Usyk. We might get Tyson Fury in 2021. But he is not going to vacate that belt. I will be gobsmacked. Even though Eddie Hearn's come out, I think, on somebody's YouTube channel this week saying, well, if they won't sanction it, then we'll vacate and we'll go down the Fury. It's got to be Fury. It's got to be Fury. I'm telling you now, like you've just said, after watching that interview, I am convinced that it's not Tyson Fury next for Anthony Joshua.
Yeah. I tweeted that immediately after the interview. As soon as he stumbled his way through that interview, I just saw a man that wasn't confident of beating Tyson Fury. I saw a man that's not comfortable in his own skin just yet. I don't know what's going on in that corner. He's got three head trainers in his corner now.
Yeah.
And I know Rob McCracken's still the one talking to him, but there's still two other voices in each ear as well during that fight. He's got three different voices in there now. I think right now we've got AJ in transition. And AJ in transition is not a good time to face Tyson Fury, who, let's face it, we've all seen I seen an interview with him this morning at Good Morning Television.
Yeah.
That guy is so comfortable in his own skin right now. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Tyson Fury would fight Anthony Joshua without a camp on his own, just him and his dad hitting a bag in the garage. That's how confident he is. And 75% of fight sports at this level is mental. All these guys can fight. All these guys have got the ability. And, you know, whether you rate Anthony Joshua as an athlete and Tyson Fury as a fighter or whatever it may be, it doesn't really matter. At the very pinnacle of the sport, it's about who can make those butterflies in their tummy fly in formation when it matters most. Who can walk out in front of millions when all the belts are on the line, when it's undisputed status, when you've got camera crews from every single part of the planet, when you're earning hundreds of millions of dollars and your entire legacy is carried into, you're carrying it to the ring right now. Who can perform then? Who is in the right frame of mind to perform then? I'm telling you now, if Tyson Fury AJ does get made next, then please, baby Jesus, let it be true. Hopefully it does get made next. I'm telling you now, Tyson Fury will win the fight at the press conference. The very first press conference, he will tie AJ up in bits. Joshua will come out of it a shell, a complete wreck, because Tyson can see what we can see, and that is AJ right now is not mentally right for Tyson Fury. Mm. And if team are honest about it, I think they will keep him a million miles away. And I know Rob McCracken's come out and said it's defo Tyson. I know Eddie's come out and said it's defo Tyson next. I'm with you, man.
I think it's easy to say those things right now, though, when you know the politics of this game. It's easy to sound off when, for example, someone's tied to another fighter. For example, yeah, I want Tyson Fury. Well, hang on a minute. Tyson Fury, he's fighting Deontay Wilder. You know that. He's tied up with him for these fights. That's happening. It's easy to come out and say, yeah, we're fighting Tyson Fury next. We're fighting when you know the WBO aren't going to let you do that. It's easy to do those things. We all know. Listen, the president of the WBO came out straight after the fight. He said, I am not granting another exception. Now, that might change because money talks and bullshit walks in this game, right? There's a lot of money involved in that AJ Fury fight. And if you waft a few quid under his nose, he might change his mind. And it's highly likely that he would, all right? But from the information that we've got now, he's not going to grant that exception. So therefore, AJ's got a decision, defend or vacate. And from reading his body language, he's not vacating that title. So therefore, it will be Usyk next.
And do you know what? I don't think anyone out there would complain because, listen, they've got the perfect fight to tee up. You've got the leading contenders for the WBO belt. One is with Matchroom and the other one is with Frank Warren. So it's easy to make the co-main event Usyk versus Joe Joyce for the WBO title or even the WBO interim title if you can organise it. I think the walls that are going to get put up to break this fight down, i.e. WBO, nah, the WBO won't let him and AJ doesn't want to give it up. Sam, man, let's speak to the WBO. We're going to do Usyk Joyce as co-main event. Chief support, Usyk versus Joyce. Again, one from each camp. Dead easy to do. BT are happy, Sky are happy. This crossover fight that we think can happen, similar to Lennox versus Tyson, where two networks work together, doing simultaneous pay-per-view, the full it. It's been done before, boys. There's no complaints there. It can happen. You know, my fear at the moment is that the fight, if it does happen, and I still pray it does, is going to end up in the Middle East. But that's a whole other conversation. We'll have that conversation when it comes. Right here, right now.
Just make the fight.
Do we think it's going to happen? Do we?
Next.
Just make it.
Next? No, I don't. I don't think it is happening.
I don't think it is. No. I don't think it is. And listen, I just think the WBO, if they come out and go, right, that's it. AJ doesn't want to vacate the WBO. We've got no choice, guys. We're going to have to do Usyk. I don't think fans, casual mainstream fans or hardcore boxing fans, are going to accept that.
No, they won't.
They're not going to accept it because we, hardcore boxing fans, people that live and breathe this sport, and football fans like my mate who are just basically come in for the AJ fights, we're all going to, in unison, go, all right, we'll just drop the WBO. Fuck it off.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Well, mate, get rid of it.
We've been saying that for 6 months. Just fuck it off.
Get rid of it.
He won't do.
And he won't do for what reason? Not because he desperately wants to keep the WBO.
No.
Because he is not ready for Tyson Fury. That will be the ultimate decision.
And this is the thing, right? Now, if he comes out on top of a fight against Usyk, that's a hell of a confidence builder.
Exactly.
Builder, right?
Exactly. And that's what he needs.
But it's fucking dangerous. So you go and fight Usyk, this undisputed cruiserweight champion, Olympic gold medalist, all this type of carry on. Now, okay, we've seen him against Chisora. Does he carry the power to hurt AJ? Don't know any of these things. But Usyk will be watching that at the weekend thinking, this guy's vulnerable. I reckon I could take him.
The thing with Usyk is incredible cruiserweight, really small heavyweight. And even at cruiserweight, he'll give you rounds. You know, he doesn't run in there and try and blow you away. He is an unpredictable, and he's a nice guy, but he's not going to get inside AJ's head.
No,
he's not going to mentally destroy AJ. A somewhat fragile, I believe, a somewhat fragile mentally AJ. Usyk isn't going to get inside his head. We've seen Usyk around Bellew. He's just like a bit of a clown. He just loves it. He's just enjoying himself. But he's kind of harmless, isn't he?
He's not harmless, mate. He's a sinister fucking bomb buddy. He is.
But he comes across as like a harmless character.
Yeah.
Dead nice, jovial. And then you get him in the ring and obviously, you know, he's a complete technician. But he's a cruiserweight technician. AJ's going to have a massive size advantage over him. And if AJ hits him, AJ finishes him. Obviously, it's a tough fight. And technically, over 12 rounds, it's really difficult for AJ to beat Usyk. However, size and speed kills. And I believe AJ against Usyk is a lot more of an easier fight than AJ taking on Tyson Fury in his current state. Hmm. I believe Usyk is the easier option by a country mile. And you're right. You get in, you defend against Usyk, you keep the belt. AJ's confidence goes through the roof again. Now he's back. Now he's mentally where he wants to be. Now he's ready. Tyson Fury's probably another 12 months older. Tyson's probably danced around the Wilder trilogy and fought, you know, whoever. And I just think Team AJ will see that and go, okay, well, this is how we get where we need to be. It's all about timing, man.
Yeah.
It's all about making the... Look at Mayweather versus Pacquiao.
Well, Mayweather was there at the weekend, wasn't he? Mayweather was there at the weekend telling him, you don't need to fight him yet, mate. Have another 12 months.
Exactly. It happened 5 years too late. Why? Because fucking Pacquiao was weather-worn by then and had been dropped and knocked down and hit and all kinds. And Mayweather was still fresh as a daisy. And it happened when Floyd wanted it to happen. And I think Team AJ, unfortunately, as a boxing fan, it pains me to say it, they will want this fight to happen when it's right for AJ, not when it's right for Tyson. Right now, next, that's Tyson Fury's time, and I think he wins it. After seeing that the weekend, I'm sorry, I just think Tyson Fury wins it at the press conference.
What did you make of the rest of the card? Do you want to speak about any? One thing that I will speak about, right?
Okolie looked ace.
Well, I was going to say, right, I feel for Lawrence Okolie. You spend 10, 12 weeks in a fight camp training for a world title. Your opponent gets COVID, therefore it falls off. I know full well that Matchroom attempted to try and get that as a world title fight. The WBO actually did something quite good because there's no way that the sixth best, Paul, is well worthy of a world title shot. So fingers crossed they can get Glowacki fit, ready to fight Okolie in 2021, because he deserves it, man. I thought, like you said, the work that he's been putting in with Shane, I actually thought that he looked quite decent at the weekend. He's not the most attractive of fighters to watch. He hasn't been in the past, but hopefully that's going to change under the tutelage of Shane McGuigan. So fingers crossed he can rock into 2021 with a world title shot. Like you say, I thought he looked all right.
Yeah, the kid was obviously, you know, half a dozen levels below Okolie, and that was disappointing because I really wanted to see how he's changed with Shane.
Yeah.
You know, and I tweeted out, was like, if this kid goes on to become world champion, this could be Shane's greatest achievement as a trainer. Mm. And this is a guy who trained fucking Josh Taylor, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
But I truly believe if he can take Okolie from being dominant but truly missable TV because of his style is so ugly and so hard to watch, if he can make the changes necessary to make Okolie attractive, and bring out his best qualities, and that's exactly what we saw Saturday. Fuck me, Okolie could be unreal, and Shane McGuigan, Jesus Christ, take a bow, son.
Yeah,
because he's going to make those tweaks necessary. We've seen it at the weekend, but again, you know, Jezuski was very, very, very poor in terms of where Okolie is in terms of him being on the verge of a world title. I just think the sooner you can get him out for the world title fight, whether it be January, February, Eddie just needs to pull the trigger, man, because he's absolutely ready, isn't he?
Mm.
And then Bacoli versus Huey Fury. Make that next. Simple. Done. There's the undercard. Do Bacoli,
Huey Fury. Whoa. Don't be making fights like that, mate. Nobody needs to see that nonsense. Macaulay McGowan, Jamie Stewart, just want to give him a little bit of a mention because two guys there that stepped up last minute and have maybe changed their lives for the better going forward, because I'm sure that they will get a lot of work. Macaulay McGowan, okay, he got beat. He got beat well against Kieran Conway, but his actions throughout the course of the week, he became social media gold, didn't he? He was well game in the fight, and I'm sure that Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren will be giving him a call in the not-too-distant future for some more work. So well done, Macaulay McGowan, on that. Jamie Stewart got an early Christmas present. I didn't class that as a draw against Mark Hugh, but again, he responded to Twitter to get that fight on 7 days' notice. Turned up, he made a great account of himself. Out of the eight rounds, I scored him three. I scored it 5-3 to Mark Hugh, and there was a mock down in there as well. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, he's changed his life for the good, and I'm sure he'll get some more work going forward. That's what it's all about, man. You've got to put your hand up, haven't you? You've got to say, listen, I'll put my balls on the line and take a risk and back myself. And that's how you change your life. So fair play to both those guys.
100%. And he'll get the rematch. And Stuart will get straight rematch next. So good on him. Mm. The best thing about McGowan, did you see the bit mid-round where he asked about what the City score was?
Yeah. You don't want to know, mate. Match was shite. Somebody should have told him that it was shit.
Good on him.
Shall we go
Friday night before we move on?
Do you want to go Friday night?
Let's go back to Friday night, and then we can jump back forward to Saturday.
Theo Payne shouldn't have been in the ring, mate. He's gone, hasn't he? He's gone.
Yeah, he's finished. I knew that. I didn't know he was finished, but I knew Sam Eggington would have his way with him. But he just completely and utterly dominated the fight. And, you know, I got a little sneak peek at Voldemort.
Oh.
And
Ian John Lewis. They were all building together, the lads, weren't they, eh? They were all having an hangout. Christmas party Jesus. At Harry Potter's. Fucking hell.
They had Theophane up at the time of the stoppage, I think. Knowing those two clowns.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eggington just completely dominated. And you could say, listen, Theophane's been an amazing.
Yeah.
What he's done with his career has been nothing short of remarkable, because he is a domestic level fighter. And yet here he is over in America fighting for a world title. Being based at Mayweather's gym, obviously, they took a shine to him, and he's had a wonderful life in boxing.
Mm.
And all credit to him. But I always ranked him as a domestic level operator, even though he was over in the US. And I think he's come back thinking, oh yeah, well, Eggington had a few losses as well. We'll have a little ding dong and I'll sign off in style.
Mm.
But what he realized was Sam Eggington's still hungry, man. And Eggington proved that. He took the blunt end, Theophane, of Eggington getting robbed of a decision against last time out. And Eggington was out there to prove a point and beat him up for six rounds before the stoppage come.
At the start of the year, can you remember who I said was my one to watch this year? Who was my prospect of this year?
Was it the one round kid?
Was it the one round kid?
Belanger. Edgar Belanger.
Well, listen, I don't know if you know this, ladies and gentlemen, but at the weekend, Edgar Belanger's at it again. They decided to up him. They thought, right, you've had 15 fights, 15 first round knockouts. It's getting a bit farcical, this. Let's give you someone that's never been stopped. What happened? Knocked him down twice and smoked him in the first round again, didn't he? You know what I mean? I told you, kids. I told you. Keep your eyes on Edgar Belanger. This lad has got... It's frightening, the power that the lad has got. And he's just gone now into his 16th fight, 16th win. He hasn't gone past 3 minutes yet. Fuck me. Talent, baby. Get me out to America. I need to see this kid live. We need to meet him. We need to get him on the show. This is what happened with Teofimo. We bigged up Teofimo. We got loads of interviews with him and obviously featured him here on the Fight Disciples. We need to be doing the same thing with this geezer because he is going all the way with that power.
It's absolutely bonkers that he's had 16 wins and 16 first round knockouts now. And, you know...
You look at the record and you think, oh, it's full of tin cans. But the guy at the weekend never been stopped. Nobody stopped him.
The previous guy had never been stopped. The previous guy, I think, had never been stopped as well. But
tell you, mate.
The problem you've got is these guys are getting in there and suddenly fucking throwing leather with him in the first round. Like that Lionel Burrows last time out, he'd never been stopped either. And then they get in there with him and they just start throwing leather. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what he's going to try and do. You know he's got this incredible run of 16 straight first round knockouts. So if you're a capable fighter, and I believe if you've got a 15-1-2 record like Sierra did at the weekend, you're capable, man. Even if you're club level, you're capable. You're beating guys at club level, so you're obviously half decent.
Get on your toes for 3 minutes.
You're telling me you can't survive 3 minutes.
Get on your toes, lad. Start, go for a run.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Just go for a little run and fucking jab and hold. Belanger can't hit that hard. He can't hit that hard that as soon as he touches you, you go. It's just weird. It's like, why are these guys getting in there and fighting him? I guarantee I could pick half a dozen super middles with worse records than Sierra that I guarantee could go around with Belanger. I just don't know where they're getting these guys from, which is making me start to think, what's Bob doing here? You know, how much is he paying these fellas?
Go on, lads.
To fucking go over in the face.
Get out. He's never seen so much power in this kid's hand. Superb. Edgar Belanger rolling on. Now, you might have all been caught up with the Anthony Joshua thing at the weekend, and therefore that might be the only boxing that you watched. If you get an opportunity, just type this into YouTube. I'm sure it's there. Nakatani Vadeo, right? Go and watch that fight. Nakatani's the kid that Teofimo Lopez fought 3 fights ago. And to be fair, out of all the Teofimo fights, it's probably the ugliest fight. It was the most difficult fight that he's had. You know, the kid took him the full distance and whatever. It was a tough fight. Everybody knows about Felix Vadeo. And this fight is absolutely brilliant. Vadeo gets Nakatani going nice and early, think that he's going to take him out. And then Nakatani summons the fucking devil or whatever he summoned. I don't know what he got, but he came back from absolutely nowhere and smoked the kid. One of the most sensational comebacks in a fight that I've seen for a very, very long time. It's a brilliant, brilliant fight. It's done, I think, in the 9th. Go and watch it. It's brilliant.
I don't know how he come back in that 4th round when he got dropped for the second time. He got dropped in the first and dropped in the 4th.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Vadeo's...
Mate, he was like Bambi on ice. He was fucking skating around on his hands and knees. He'd gone.
He's going to finish this kid now. You know, he knows how to finish a fight. The clock is ticking. This kid's going to nail him now. And then, you know, what a night it's going to be for Puerto Rico. And then suddenly from nowhere, as you say, Nakatani just became like a Pokemon character, just became a fucking absolute monster and just starts tearing through him. And then that round 9, you know, we dropped him twice, I think, before the stoppage. Absolutely unreal performance. That was just like in over in UFC, we had a late push for a fight of the year contender. Yeah. It was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, man. Bit of news this week. Campbell Hatton has turned over, signed with Matchroom. There you go, Ricky Hatton's lad. He's turned over. They're like, he's basically a clone, isn't it? I know it's obviously his son, but he looks like him, obviously, but even sounds like him, talks like him, has the same one-liners as him. He's absolutely mustard. I know he's only a young lad. What is he, 19? He's not fully out of those teens as of yet, but... He'll be excited. Don't put too much pressure on him. Don't be thinking to yourself, all right, like what we did when Conor Benn turned over and, oh, it's Nigel Benn's lad, right? He's got to be this, he's got to be that. Still learning the game, man. Still learning the game. It'll be a bit of fun. And who knows? Who knows? We might have a bit of fun with him along the way. All right. So Campbell Hatton's turned over.
It's mad, isn't it? Like we've got Campbell now. We've got obviously Eubank, and then Ben, and you know Naz's lads train as well. Yeah, Naz's lads are in the gym. It's going to be amazing when they turn over. But imagine if Campbell, and I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid, but imagine if he got to like headliner level Manchester Arena
against Tim
coming
Zoo.
Out to Blue Moon. Against Tim Zoo, yeah, exactly. Shit. He fights this week, by the way. He fights on Wednesday, but yeah. Imagine it, man. Even maybe not even against Tim Zoo, but just imagine Campbell walking out with his dad to Blue Moon in a main event. Oh my God. Manchester Arena. Fucking hell. Get me there. Yeah, get me there.
Absolutely. This kind of leads us on nicely to this weekend's fights because you've seen that Maurizio's decided that he fancies a piece of the Canelo-Smith fight. He's gone, go on, lads, you can have the full WBC title. Smith's only been silver champion for 10 years and obviously it's Canelo, so why not? Anybody checked on Avni Yildirim? Lad's kicking fucking holes in a door somewhere, isn't he? You know what I mean? Absolutely pissed that Maurizio's decided to cash in and take his sanctioning fee. The WBC belt, full belt, no fucking mucking about belt. Will be on the line this weekend for the super middleweight contest of the year. Go on, then. Let's get stuck into it, man. Oh, should we get stuck into that? Should we do Friday first? Because there's Friday fights.
Let's do Golovkin first, yeah. Let's do Golovkin.
All right, then. So, you've got fights midweek. You've got fights all over the world this week. There's so many to get stuck into. So I apologize if we miss some of these out because we just want to prioritize. Golovkin is fighting. His IBF championship is on the line. This is on the Friday night. John Ryder's on that undercard. It's a matchroom card, this. He's taking on Cerameta. Also on that same night, Gilberto Ramirez. It's not the same car, but Gilberto Ramirez makes his light heavyweight debut. This is the guy that obviously was stripped twice of that WBC super mm-hmm. middleweight belt. So he's up at light heavyweight doing his thing. But Golovkin, I think Golovkin needs a massive statement performance this weekend because there's loads of chat that, oh, he's over the hill, he's gone, past it, blah, blah, blah. If he comes in and smokes this kid nice and early, shows a little bit of vintage Golovkin, it'll reignite the chat. Won it for obviously Canelo, but you're going to tell me that Canelo's going to get beat. So Canelo, Smith, whatever it may be, to unify then against Golovkin would be sensational.
Yeah, it's good that John Ryder's getting an out and over there. I think that's great for John. He puts himself back in the frame. And I think, you know, I think for as all good as performance was against Callum Smith, I think John Ryder, for me, could still make middleweight as well. So, it's a good opportunity for him to put himself in the shot window. He just needs a big win, which I'm sure he'll get over Mike Guy. Cerameta, you know, former European champion. I think he relinquished that belt to pursue a world title opportunity. Don't know too much about him at the top level. He's only actually fought outside of Poland once or twice and has 21 wins. So he's going to get a cold, hard shot this weekend. The problem with him is the kid can't punch. You know, I think he's got half a dozen knockouts on 21 wins. You can't go into a fight against the Golovkin. You can't win a world title at the highest level unless you can punch. That's just a fact. I don't get it how good your chin is. If you can't punch, you can't get the respect of your opponents. And then Golovkin will probably take 4 to 5 rounds before he fucking nails him to a cross. On to Saturday!
Well, hang on. British Boxing Border Control Light Heavyweight titles on the line. Shaqin Peters and Craig Richards are doing that. That's on Friday night in the UK, so you can check that out as well. That should be a nice little knock. Okay, then. On to Saturday. I apologise now for what he's going to do. Right, here we go. The hype train is on. I'm surprised you're not wearing a Callum Smith t-shirt today to actually do the show, mate. This is big. It is big. The Alamodome in Texas. There will be fans in attendance. I saw at the weekend Paul and Paul Sr. as well on planes getting over to the States. So it looks like that various family members are going over for this fight. Callum Smith taking on. Saul Alvarez. And this is the fight of a lifetime. This is it. You know, everything that you've done as a kid, everything that you've done as an amateur, everything that you've done as a pro so far, it won't get better than this. This is it. Does it get bigger or better than this? This is the one. Go out there and chuck the fucking kitchen sink at it. Everything. And it's all got to come together in one night. All the stars have got to align. I've said on this show before, Callum Smith has all the attributes to be able to beat Canelo. For a big guy, he fights brilliantly. He's a small guy. He's obviously nice, long and rangy. His body shots are unbelievable. He's got a lot of power in both hands. His ring IQ is very, very good. He knows how to cut the ring off. He knows how to mix up his attacks. Can he do it all together on the same night and outthink the Mexican? Because the Mexican can do all that. We know he can do all that. He's proved it at the very highest level throughout the whole of his career. So we know what we're getting with Canelo. Can Callum Smith match him and just go a touch further in order to get the job done?
Yes, he's going to knock him out in round seven. I've been thinking about this fight for weeks now. Been dreaming about it when I go to bed at night. And I'm telling you, I'm nailing my flag to the cross right now. Callum Smith is going to knock Canelo out in round seven. And he may even get up off the floor to do it, but he's going to knock Canelo out in round seven. And I'll tell you why. Callum Smith has always been a fighter that performs when it matters most on the biggest stage. You know, if you put him in with a fight with a Skoglund or a Nicky Holdskin, or with all due respect, the John Ryder, he's just not going to turn up like he would against when the fear's there. He's a fighter that needs the fear. He needs to have that fear of I'm going in there with someone that if I'm not on my A game, he could do me. He could beat me here. And whenever he's had that fear, you've always seen Callum Smith perform at the highest level. You know, George Groves one is the clearest one, and that's why I think the fight will go very similar to George Groves. I think that the finish will come in exactly the same round seven, for that reason. And Canelo, I just see Canelo now, he's a guy that's already starting to look outside the ring. He's got a lot of interests outside of boxing. He's been doing this an awful long time. He's had 50, this is his 58th professional fight or whatever it may be.
Yeah, but he's not old. He's only 30.
Yeah, but he's had 58 professional fights. He's been doing this since he was about 14.
Right.
So he's not old 30. He's not a young 30. He's more like 36 in boxing years.
Yeah, but nobody's given him. Nobody's hit him.
He's had huge. Golovkin fucking hit him. I'll tell you that right now. Golovkin hit him. Daniel Jacobs certainly hit him. That fight was close on the cards. Okay, the Kovalev fight, but Kovalev's 47 years old now. So I was expecting him to beat Kovalev. And yet the Kovalev fight, you know. Two or three of those judges had that one round or two rounds in it. They had it close. He lost rounds against Kovalev. He lost rounds against Jacobs. He certainly lost rounds against Golovkin in the first fight.
Yeah.
Yes, he made the adjustments for the second fight. You know, in the last 5 or 6 years, you're looking at the big performance for him was the Liam Smith performance, obviously stopping Liam in 9 rounds, the Rocky Fielding performance at Madison Square Garden, stopping him in 3 rounds. Callum's older brother Liam is 5 inches smaller than Callum. He's a lot smaller. He's a career welterweight compared to Callum, who, let's face it, is a light heavyweight that gets down to super middleweight. I think he's got the height. He's obviously got the height over Canelo. He's got the freshness. And he's been working for this fight for a long time. I think Callum Smith has had Canelo in his mind for the last 4 to 5 years, whereas Canelo hasn't been thinking about Callum Smith for
the last four or five years. You're getting a percentage. I hope you're getting a percentage of what's coming back. This is amazing. Go on, keep going.
So I'll tell you how the fight plays out.
You just said Callum Smith, knock him out in the seventh.
Callum Smith starts feeding them that jab. Start softening him up. Canelo is fighting in bursts.
You're talking about Canelo.
Canelo fights in bursts to keep the round close. I think we get 4 rounds in the bank and it's 2-2. It's all level.
Okay.
We're going into the fifth, the sixth. It looks like Canelo's starting to up a little bit. It looks like Callum's starting to go into his shell. And then fucking left hook from nowhere. Canelo's all over the place. Right hand down the pipe. Left to the body. Boom, body shots, Canelo's done, and still
not
the WBA,
new.
The new
Unified.
WBC,
Unified, yeah.
And the Ring Magazine, the world number one, Callum Smith gets the stoppage in the seventh round.
Mate, if that
you
plays
hear
out,
the ear first.
I know full well, right? If that plays out, next week is going to be a horrendous show for me. Horrendous. Listen, mate, he is up against it. We're talking about one of the very, very best that has ever done it. Ring IQ, selection of shots, can do it backwards, can do it forwards, can do it sideways. Canelo's legit. No matter what the rhetoric has been on the show about him and his Clem Buterol situation, he's fucking mustard. Absolute mustard. One of the best body shots in the game. And like I said, he's got every shot. Every shot. The corkscrewing uppercuts, the corkscrewing hooks, the feint, everything. He's got the lot. Callum Smith's got the lot. But we haven't seen Callum Smith put it all together on the same night. all together on the same night. And he's got to do that this weekend. I know you're going to argue and say that he did it against George Groves. I personally think George Groves wasn't fully fit there. He was coming off the back of that shoulder injury.
Tell Hassan and Dam, a career middleweight, that he didn't put it all together on the right night. He fucking was there. That was the knockout of the night in New York.
Yeah, he smoked him. But Hassan and Dam isn't fucking Canelo.
But Hassan and Dam's a career middleweight like Canelo. Similar size, similar stature.
Listen, stop it.
Callum Smith's going to... when they go head to
Hassan and Dam and Canelo? Come on.
When they go head-to-head at the weigh-in on Friday, everyone is going to watch that head-to-head, see Callum Smith's 5 inches taller and full of fucking confidence. Don't forget, he's been there, done it. He's been in the dressing room with Liam in
Texas. He's not been in the ring. He's not been in the ring with him.
He stood next to Liam and watched Liam make the walk. He stood and watched that fight and studied that fight and looked at it and thought how he could win. And he's had 5 years to prepare or 4 years to prepare since then, watching Canelo labour through against Danny Jacobs, labour through rounds against Kovalev, who's only 6 foot. Callum's 6 foot three. Canelo Alvarez has bitten off more than he can chew, I'm telling you now. You will see the very best Callum Smith this weekend. He will get the stoppage victory and we will get a rematch in early 2021.
Mate, I hope so. I really hope you are right, but this is how I see it going. I think Callum Smith will be, it'll be Canelo's most competitive fight, and I'm even including Golovkin in there, and Golovkin beat him in that first fight.
I was going to say, he lost the first fight.
No, he didn't though. He got a draw, didn't he? Golovkin...
Well, he did lose it though.
No, in our eyes, he did, but factually, he didn't. He was a draw.
Because Adelaide Baird was paid to score the fight.
These aren't facts. These are opinions, yeah? So I would say that Callum Smith will give him a proper go for his money. At the end, it will go the distance. We'll be sat there going, I think he's won that. I think Callum's won that. And it'll be scored 115-113 in the favour of Canelo. That is what will happen.
Like Danny Jacobs.
That is what will happen, sadly. But he'll come away from it where people will go, fuck me, that was outstanding, Callum. That was outstanding. He's not going to go out there and get battered. That's not going to happen. He's going to go out there and he's going to make a great account of himself. He'll be winning rounds. And I think early doors, people will be going, fucking hell, what's going on here? Canelo needs to get his act together, man. He's getting his fucking head jabbed off. What's going on? And that's what I think will happen. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right, mate. I hope seventh round, we're all there. We are fucking cocks in our hand running around the hotel because we're down in London this weekend for this, aren't we? I hope that happens where we're celebrating one of the best British victories overseas that we've ever seen, especially in our lifetime. But I just think Canelo will get the job done on points.
We can't afford it to go to points. Because you'll never get a decision on points. We, as British fight fans, supporting Callum Smith.
We, as the communal scouse.
We can't afford to let it go to points. I just think Callum's going to win early rounds. Canelo's going to get his shit together. And then Canelo's going to try and put his foot down and walk into a left hook. And then Callum is going to finish him. I truly believe that's what's going to happen.
I hope so.
I cannot fucking wait for it. I cannot wait. Look, it will be the biggest
win. You will be a nightmare. You're going to be a nightmare. If that comes off, you're a nightmare, mate. I can tell now. Christmas is going to be a fucking nightmare for this podcast. People are going, I'm not listening.
That's Christmas for me. Callum Smith roasts Canelo this weekend. That's Christmas done. Christmas done. I'm going to say to me missus, right, that's it. Tell Father Christmas. Forget about my list. I don't want anything for Christmas now.
I've got
exactly what I wanted. Callum Smith smoking Canelo. Hashtag Mundo KO. Let's get it going. Come on, people. Hashtag Mundo KO. Come on.
Get involved with it. This weekend, Manny Rodriguez fights Raymart Gabalo. And Jaron Ennis is on that undercard, so make sure you check it out. These are not on the Canelo undercard. I mean, the Canelo undercard's pretty poor, to be fair. But you can consume all this via DAZN. This might be the first one that I've done, actually, on the old DAZN. On my £1.99 subscription.
Can we subscribe now? Give us some information, dude, because I haven't even got a DAZN account yet. We just set up the DAZN.
Type it
on their website.
That's it.
Set it up.
That's it. Set up your account.
Is it an app?
Yeah.
Is it an app on your phone and shit as well, yeah?
Well, I've put the app on my laptop, yeah. So it's very similar to your Sky Go, how that all operates. There's loads of... Do you know something? I've watched back some programming some shoulder programming, so some of their material shows. I met Gareth A. Davies was doing bits actually at the weekend for the AJ fight for the DAZN feed.
That's right. I seen Tasha was dressed in nines. She was working for DAZN. Yeah,
there you go. So I've watched a bit of shoulder programming back, and it's good, man. They make some good digital content. It's solid. But you need an account. So you set your account up. Obviously, you set up for a subscription, which is £1.99. I've no doubt that's going to get boosted like they do with Netflix. It's like Netflix. You're setting that up, and then away you go. You've got your app. Ping, in you go, man. And that's how we will consume the fight this weekend. It's not on Sky. You won't be able to watch it on Sky Sports, so you're going to have to set up on DAZN if you want to watch Canelo versus Callum Smith.
And this is the thing why I think we're gonna struggle with numbers, and it's something we observed in the US previously with matchroom fights. Because there is no TV exposure, these DAZN fights could go under the radar. But this one, from a British fight fan perspective, simply cannot.
Well, you look at it.
You're not going to see it anyway.
Look at last week. It was rammed down your throat, AJ. Rammed down your throat. Have you seen anything for Canelo and Callum Smith yet on your Sky Sports?
Not a word, no. Even though
he's a matchroom fighter, it's not there.
No. So it'd be interesting to see what Eddie's got planned this week in terms of selling this fight, because DAZN have got no presence. Listen, I'm in Liverpool. I'm in this is DAZN fucking a DAZN hotspot right now, because it's Callum Smith territory. But I've seen no buses with DAZN badges on. I've seen
buses. What are you? Are you fucking living in 1988, mate? What is this? Jesus Christ! It's not It's not the Big Breakfast. Get him outside of a bloody bus stop. Eh? Get the billboards out, Nick. People live in their phones. Nick, on the phones. That's where they'll advertise. They'll advertise it in your social media feeds, mate. They're not going to advertise it outside of a fucking bus. Jesus, where are you living? Fucking 1988. Jesus Christ.
Every Liverpool taxi and every Liverpool taxis! Bus should be wrapped with
the
DAZN
set on now. Get a taxi on as well.
Every single one should be wrapped now with DAZN and Callum Smith's kite. Every billboard in the city should have it on. Go and subscribe to DAZN to see Callum Smith. Mental.
Take a full page spread in the newspaper. Nobody's reading them. Yeah. Nobody's get it on the fucking Facebook.
That's true.
That's where you need to do it. Ram it down people's faces on Instagram. That's what they need to do, mate. And make it very, very easy for people to be able to swipe up on an Instagram. Here you go. Set up your account. There you go. You can watch the fight now. You've watched fights in Texas. You've been there. What's the What's the walkout time? Is it similar to Vegas? So therefore, will we get this maybe 5 a.m. UK time?
I think so, yeah. I think that's what it was last time. It was made for Vegas, obviously. It's made for the West Coast. And certainly with Canelo being having a big West Coast draw, we're probably looking at about 4 or 5 a.m. UK time. But I thought when DAZN set up, though, they said they were going to be putting on fights, you know, at midnight in the UK, favourable to the UK markets. What's happened to that?
Well, I thought that was going to happen at the weekend, mate, but that didn't happen either, did it? You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes forward, like with the Garcia and the Campbell fight. I thought that it would be a universal time for all these territories that they've launched in. That was the noise, but that didn't materialise at the weekend, did it? It'd be interesting to see if it does, though, this weekend. I'll try and get across it, so make sure you follow us on social media. And if I get a confirmed time as to when that fight is going to happen, if it's 12 o'clock UK... Job right, man. We'll get it to you. Last one of the year next week. Last one of the year. As we take a little break for Christmas, we'll be back with our big yearly review, which kicks off obviously with Luke Campbell and Garcia on January the 2nd. But our last Fight Disciples podcast of the year is coming next week, where Nick will be draped in the WBC belt. We've slagged it off all year, but next week you'll be its biggest fan, won't you, mate?
Me and Maurizio, we fucking arm in arm, clinking beers, loving it. I'll sell my... If Callum Smith smokes him in the 7th, I'll get a WBC tattoo.
Right, you heard that. You heard it. A full belt? I want the full belt tattooed around your midriff. Not just a little shitty badge on your arm, right? I want a full belt around your stomach. Full franchise belt tattooed around your belly button. That's the one, mate. There you go. Listen, thank you very much for listening to us. We are selling beer, by the way, and I saw some tweets this week, even though I've not tasted this stuff yet, still. I saw some tweets this week where people are celebrating how good Proper Tackle does taste and that they placed an order and within 24 hours, they were receiving 24 cans at the doorstep.
What we do. That's how we do it.
I won't know, mate. I won't know. So do get involved. Go to our website, fightdisciples.com. There's a link there. You're going to need some ale for Christmas. You're going to need to celebrate this win this weekend, obviously, for Callum Smith. So get yourself some ale. It is designed to go the distance. And Nick photoshopped Father Christmas with a nice can of a Proper Tackle this week. So you can see that on our social media as well.
Loves it.
There you go, endorsed by Father Christmas. No longer is he driving the Coca-Cola van, he is obviously on the Proper Tackle now. Times are tough. There you go. Fight Disciples on iTunes, please subscribe to us there. That is a little 5-star review. I apologise that we've gone long, but there were a lot to talk about and we've missed loads out as well. So if you want to interact with us on social media, you can do that at Fight Disciples on all platforms. If you're into your MMA, switch over now because we've done a podcast there. Go and get stuck in. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.